You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
So welcome to Breadline. We're on 3CR and community radio, and we're also able to, and we're streaming live around the country. So yeah, so now I'm going to do my blast from the past. I really should have a bit of a sort of sound effect here, but regard what you just are hearing as a blast. This is a blast. So one of the active groups in the 70s and 80s, I've talked about the Dole Army before. They were the people who hoodwinked the capitalist press into thinking that they were living in the sewers of Melbourne and that they were organising to rip off the system. So, yeah, plenty of creative stuff has happened. You wouldn't think so with the state of the way that systems are affecting people's lives, but... So Wollongong Out of Work had a great acronym, WOW. And so they were active in the 80s and 90s. And it basically was unique. The Wikipedia info says it was uniquely successful in its longevity and the fact it was controlled by unemployed people themselves. So their first action was to journey from Wollongong to Canberra. To present the incoming Labor government with a log of claims on behalf of the unemployed. So a handful of members established a tent embassy outside the parliament and were successful in meeting a couple of ministers. But back in Wollongong, they began their Steal, Sleep Out or Starve campaign to highlight the fact that young unemployed people had to survive on $40 a week. In the middle of June, with icy westerly winds whipping down on the city, WOW members began a two-week day and night vigil outside the Social Security offices in Market Street, Wollongong. The aim was to collect signatures of all the unemployed in central Wollongong on a petition demanding increases to the dole and by sleeping out in the street in the middle of winter to highlight youth homelessness. When some of the WOW members were hospitalised suffering from exposure, it was decided to get in to basically occupy one of the empty houses across the road. So with community support, including the support of the South Coast Labor Council, who put pressure on the police and the owner, this house became WOW's offices for the next 6 years. Good on them, eh? So they got, rather than being out exposed on the streets, they actually got into a place which, as someone who's, I've myself had a long history of squatting, there's nothing like it really. So the WOW House became the focus for a range of activities. They kept the issue of unemployment before the public eye with a stream of media releases and appearances. They published a monthly tabloid newspaper called The Gong. They achieved observer status on the South Coast Labor Council and briefly received government funding before rejecting the government's terms and conditions. Yeah, interesting. Good one. WOW's services included a drop-in centre, welfare rights centre, soup kitchen, library, layout and graphics workshop, dark room, recording studio, accommodation and a food co-op. Its welfare rights centre provided assistance with collective and self-advocacy in dealing with government departments and with employers and provided advice and assistance about forms of self-help, both legal and otherwise. They helped school, they helped teach people in on about welfare regulations and self-advocacy, and it utilised a form of direct action casework, staging militant group actions when grievances remained unsolved. Well, yeah, again, in the Unemployed Workers Union, when we had our branch down in Wonthaggi, we used to also picket outside the job centres. And although we didn't expect them to suddenly do the right thing and sort of become human-centred rather than profit-centred, at the same time we felt as if when we were outside they must realise that they better treat the people who are inside having appointments a little bit better. So, yeah, it was, it looks like very direct action-orientated what they were doing. In 1984, when feedback from members showed that unemployed people with children were being doubly penalised by the tax system, WOW members staged a sit-in at the Social Security offices and demanded a meeting with the minister to get tax regulations changed. Within an hour, the minister had agreed to meet them, provided they could be in Canberra by 9 o'clock the following morning. Phew, that's a bit of pressure. After 6 years of often frenzied activity, the organisation declined, with core members moving on and members suffering from the exhaustion of trying to live on the dole long term. WOW closed down in 1989. An attempt to revive the group in the early 90s was unsuccessful. So yeah, a blast from the past, but once again, I suppose the crucial thing is it's much harder to squat now. But really what they were doing is very much what we agree with, which is helping people survive the system, but also using sort of mutual aid tactics. So the conditions were that in 1983, youth employment in some suburbs had risen to more than 50%. And there was a group of young people already loosely organised called YAPO, Young and Pissed Off. And they'd undertaken a graffiti campaign against unemployment, and they were supported by other people in the town. Of course, they were also supported in Wollongong by the steelworkers and the other militant unionists who understood that, of course, a pool of unemployed is what the government wants because it threatens makes the people who have got jobs feel insecure. So, yeah, that's my blast from the past anyway. And you can now imagine a little bit of a blast noise there. But I'll remind you also about legal support.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
And you're still listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and I'm Jessica, and I'm enjoying spreading myself out across 45 minutes of show this evening. So, I've talked already about Robodebt and WOW, which was active in the 80s. So now bringing us up to the present a bit, we have through our advocacy line, I've picked up a lot of hints, and even though I don't help out on the advocacy line myself, I sort of help coordinate some of the meetings and so on. So I picked up a lot, and so these are kind of the top tips that I've picked up. I'm sure plenty other people who work on the advocacy line would have other top tips, but there's a few here. The first big one, which is all about solidarity, is bring a friend. And they might tell you that you're not allowed to, it's not allowed to bring a friend, but the wording which is recommended is they have my permission to be present. That's all you have to say. So if the job centre provider / parasite is telling you that they can't be there, that's all you have to say, or words to that effect. And they could talk on your behalf, but they could also just be there taking notes. So it's always much better. And then on the appointments, we've been talking quite a bit on Breadline about the fact that especially in climate emergencies, or if you're not feeling up to it, it's much better to get a phone appointment. And a lot of people have moved to the Workforce Australia app because it's much easier to have phone appointments but using that app. But of course, we've tried to get something definite out of the government about the conditions that you can ask for a phone or face-to-face appointment. And of course, they gave us a whole lot of words which didn't really mean that much. But the thing is that the job service providers are trying to get you in the office, and that if you don't feel up to it, you have got the right to say that that's not on. And another hint from Hank, who also presents this show, is don't spill your guts. They are not your friend, your pal. They're there for a reason. And as we know, they're there because their job requires them to put you, through to make you jump through a few hoops. So the other big reminder is that if they try and dump a job plan in front of you, that don't feel as if you have to sign it straight away. We know of someone, an AWU member up in Brisbane, he said, he just questioned his job plan, and the person working in the JSP just closed her books and said, that's finished, the interview's finished. And she suspended his payment. So if that, of course, was an extreme situation, the law is that you have 48 hours to look at your job plan before signing it. So just remember that. So MOs, mutual obligations, as we know, applying for masses of jobs, which you might not would even want, but you are expected to apply for those jobs. There are ways that you can, if it's too much pressure in your life, or if you're over 55, you can do volunteer hours with community organisations such as 3CR, and you can do that for 15 hours a week, and that means that you're exempt from mutual obligations. There's also the fact that if you are physically not up to taking part in their mutual obligation rigmarole, you can request medical exemption, and your doctor has to fill in a form for that. So a lot of people who are just feeling the pressure too much do that. So courses, yes. A little bit more on that in a minute, but a lot of the courses that they send you on are, again, the modern equivalent of digging a hole and then filling it up again to look busy, because the courses themselves are run by the same companies that are running the JSPs in some cases, and they're not in any way relevant to your future employment, long-term employment. They might be something like a barista course when you're a computer programmer, for example. So the rule is that the courses and the training must be equivalent to your education level, in other words, the level that you're going to be applying for jobs on. So sorry, no courses doing something which is not tied in. So those are just a few tips. And of course, if you've got a specific question, you can just ring our advocacy line, which operates Monday to Friday, 10 till 2. There are a whole lot of other intricacies, for example, like applying for the disability support pension. There's they've set up a new organisation to try and make that look a bit more sympathetic. Someone said to me recently, be careful when you're submitting data to support your claim for disability support pension, because you only have 2 weeks to submit that data, and often they don't tell you that. So yeah, there's a lot to it, but there is actually a great website set up by the same people who are involved with running the legal support, which was just advertised with music on the last little bit of the show. And it's called just dsphelp.org.au. So you can get onto that website if you are in the middle of the quite stressful process of applying for the DSP. So yes, I'm going to go into a song now, which is "We Have Survived" by Bart Willoughby. So here it goes.
Like the songs of the civil rights movements in the US in the 50s and the anti-apartheid songs of South Africa, our songs sing of anger and pride, of political protest, and of the profound optimism of our people. We sing up the land as it rises over the horizon. We sing up our stories so that we never forget. And we sing up our future so that we are reminded we have one. Thank you.
That was a powerful song from Bart Willoughby. Yes, very inspiring he is. And, yeah, you're listening to the end of the Breadline Show from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And I've been talking about a few things, Robodebt, the Wollongong group called WOW, and I've got a few other bits of info to end with before we move on to Eritrean Voices at 6:30. So another new campaign that's building up, I've mentioned it before on the show, is the group which has a new website called endpartnerincometesting.com. Now, I know that's a bit hard if you're listening to write down, but I'll repeat it again, endpartnerincometesting.com. So as we know, that's, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that's the archaic system, which means that If you're on a DSP or a payment, and you move in with someone who they deem has an income of above a certain level, your income, if you're receiving those payments, just goes to zero. And so the campaign is collecting stories at the moment, and this is a statement they've made. It's a human right for disabled people to pursue relationships in safety. The government threatens us by imposing a massive financial penalty on us for doing so and threatens our survival. We demand that they remove this harmful policy, partner income testing, so disabled people can thrive and take control of their lives. So, yeah, good strong statement there from that campaign, which is hotting up as we speak. Our advocacy line, just in case you missed it before, is 1-800-289-848, and we have also a bit of inside info which is from a union member who thought that he might apply for a job with one of the agencies because he assumed that he would actually be helping people get jobs. And so he was offered, they said to him, we will give you 120 people per month to handle. And he immediately responded, well, that's too many, because he was imagining he'd be getting jobs for those people. And they said, you don't have to find them jobs. They find their own. If not, just send them to do courses for 6 months. If no job after that, then work for the dole. We have to make money. So, yeah, that sort of says it all, really, doesn't it? And, we will be back next week at 6 o'clock. And just asking you to, if you're concerned at all about Work for the Dole, to mark the 17th of April down. It's a Friday, and we will be doing a protest to remember Josh Park Fing on that day. And at the moment, from our current thinking, even if there's 3.5 people and a dog, we're still going to visit a government office and actually mark what happened to him. And of course, many other people who've suffered through having to being put on these compulsory Work for the Dole programs, which, yeah, as I said earlier, are really not much chop. They include things like sweeping up a graveyard. That was another of the Work for the Dole little brainwaves. And, and then in my area, as I've mentioned on other shows, it was making furniture out of pallets. Oh, yes, one I heard of today from Hank was sanding down wooden handles for cupboards. And, of course, it's a highly repetitive thing. And there were no masks involved. It was just straight out hack work. Anyway, that's about it from me, Jessica, from the Unemployed Workers Union. And stay listening for Eritrean Voices. And we'll be on next week at 6 o'clock. And to go out, I'm going to be playing a song by Penelope Swales called Getting Back On. So bye from me.
There comes a time, and maybe that time is always now, where you have to follow your own path and your own heart and just stop worrying about how it's gonna look to the people around. 'Cause if you know, then you know what you need to do. It doesn't matter 2 cents if it doesn't make sense to the majority of the people around you. But I know that if I'm serious, I've got to learn to walk that walk. Most of my life I've had it easy, I've had my fun, I've laid down the law. It's all very well to strut your theories, but in the end you gotta get on that. Like anyone else, I have my fears. It's like anyone else, I tumble off. But I'm getting back on. There is a point where most people, even brave ones, will turn back. And anyone you meet out past that point deserves your respect for just being on the track. There's a frontier that you won't find on any chart. No, their dragons drawn, their right and spawn, and the domestic cartographer's nervous heart. But I know that if I'm serious, I've got to learn to walk that walk. Most of my life I've had it, I've laid down the law. It's all very well to strut your theories, but in the end you gotta get on that horse. Like anyone else, I have my fears. It's like anyone else, I tumble on. But I'm getting back on. I'm getting back on. Thank you.
A high point where you look back at your journey, shake your head and wonder how you made it through. But the point is you made it through. And stand or fall or win or lose, there's none that can take that away from you. Well, I can only say that I do my best. I've had my failures, I've had successes, I've hurled my curses, but I've been blessed. In the end, if you want an adventure, you take the risk and accept the cost. 'Cause if you're gonna head into unknown territory, you might get found or you might be lost. You're taking the chance, you're taking the chance. 'Cause when you're lying there on your deathbed, well, this is the question that's waiting for you. Do you regret more the things you did or the things that you didn't do? Walk that walk. Most of my life I've had it so easy. I've had my fun, I've laid down the law. It's all very well to strut your theories, but in the end you gotta get on that horse. And anyone else might think I'm delirious, and anyone else might think I'm wrong, but I'm getting back on.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.